Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to Let's Talk, episode 57, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all, Father Corey Stika. Welcome to Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. Glad you could join us. Joanne Mercier is back with us again this week. How's it going, Joanne?
Hi, Father Corey. Hi, everybody. Glad to be back.
Well, glad to have you back. And we have a special guest this week to talk about a venture he's got going on. Now, sorry, Philip, I forgot to ask your last how to pronounce your last name, so I'm not even going to try. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. So my name is Philip Kozlowski. And I am a writer currently for a website called Alatea.org. Previously, I was a blogger for the National Catholic Register. And recently, over the past year or two, we started a Catholic comic book company called Voyage Comics.
Well, very good. Of course, that's actually what we're... why you're on today is to talk about your work with Voyage Comics. And you know, first of all, describe what is the, why did you start Voyage Comics? Why are you involved in Voyage Comics?
Sure. So, you know, in all reality, I never really intended to, you know, create a comic book company itself. A couple of years ago, you know, I was just, you know, kind of thinking and praying just how to evangelize, but not so much in a, I guess in a kind of a preachy kind of way, but in a, by using, you know, media and entertainment to, you know, get to a wider audience. And, you know, one idea I had, I was thinking of making just a single comic book, and, the comic book was about, well, it kind of started after the release of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And after I saw that movie, at the very end, they showed, you know, this island. And, you know, it turns out it's a real island off the coast of Ireland. And it has, you know, kind of a deep Christian history, and it had a monastery on it. And there's just kind of this unique connection between these monks and Jedi. And so I just kind of saw that as kind of like a perfect bridge to evangelize to a wider audience using these monks that are kind of connected to Star Wars in some way. And then when I was thinking about this island, so the island's name is called Skellig Michael, and it's just such a beautiful place and it's so unique. And I just was thinking, well, you know, how can I bring that beauty to other people? And so I had this idea to create a comic book, which is very visual in nature. And so I, you know, I kind of started writing this, you know, I've never written a comic book script before. And, it just kind of clicked. And then I was kind of searching for artists, and through a series of events, kind of connections, I was put in touch with this Catholic artist who had been with Marvel and DC Comics for about 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And he helped me a lot in, you know, creating the comic book, this first comic book. And, you know, me and another artist that I knew, and really, you know, I kind of got a crash course into the comic book world. Yeah, and then ever since, just been kind of, everything's just kind of fallen into place. So I kind of saw that as a sign that I was moving in the right direction, and that, you know, God is kind of behind it.
Oh, very interesting. And, you know, of course, you mentioned Marvel and DC. And when people think of comic books, those are the two big names everyone thinks of. And, you know, but it's kind of interesting because, I mean, first of all, when people think of comic books, I think most people think of when they were kids, you know, and they had the Batman, they had the Superman, they had Spider-Man, you know, whatever other comic, Captain America, you name it, you know, and that's what they thought of. And comic books really aren't just for kids, are they?
No, you know, and this is really goes, you know, with the history of comics in general, too. Like, you know, it started out, you know, in the 50s with, you know, kind of a teenage audience initially. But then these comic book fans, you know, grew up and they were still comic book fans into their, you know, then it became kind of going to a college crowd or a college audience. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, these same college fans kept on kept on reading comic books. And so then into their adulthood and then introducing it to their children. So yeah, over the past, you know, 50, 60 years, it's really been a multi-generational audience that, you know, kids pick them up, but also adults as well.
Yeah. I was just looking on the website of Voyage Comics. And so these comic books then are going to be not the saints, lives of the saints and stuff like that. It's actually going to be real stories about fictional faith-based characters, correct?
Well, it'll be a mix of both.
Okay.
Kind of my, you know, these first few comics that I've created are a mix of kind of, you know, historical fiction, but then also fantasy adventure. So, the first series that I've written, it's called Finian and the Seven Mountains. And again, it goes to this, you know, this real place called Skellig Michael. But then it kind of mixes some medieval myths that's kind of surround that place and also, you know, St. Michael in general. And then we're also coming out with a St. Joan of Arc comic book in a couple weeks. And that, again, it's, you know, it's based on her life, but then it kind of takes more of a fantasy lens to her life, kind of looking more at the supernatural than kind of strictly historical.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, you know, when kind of common perception, I think people think of comic books as being a fairly secular thing. You know, people think of these big heroes and they might be there. Most of them are generally very virtuous. They're generally, you know, good role models, think people that we could look up to. Again, in general, there are very much anti-heroes. There are, you know, superheroes who are not the most virtuous, of course, and there are villains too. You know, there are villains that have their own comics and so on. But Catholicism and comics aren't exactly foreign to each other. I was doing, you know, kind of a little research, and I happened across an article you wrote actually a couple of years ago for Alatea about the five comic book heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think a lot of people, especially now with the Netflix series Daredevil, they're aware of the Catholic background of that. But there are a couple of comic books that were made by Marvel that are kind of interesting because they're not superheroes. They're made in the early 80s. You know the ones I'm talking about, right?
The St. John Paul II comic book?
Yep.
And then, Mother Teresa as well.
And then also St. Francis.
Oh, yeah, St. Francis is actually, yeah, three.
I know that. Yeah. People can't see that, but
I can.
I've got, my parish has both copies of the Francis one and John Paul II. And it's interesting that even this was early 80s when they put these out. And even then there were people who understood that comics could be a great way to tell these stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, even during the 1950s and 60s, you know, comic books in Catholic schools was a very big thing. You know, there's a lot of people will remember, like, there's these treasure chest comics. And it was this series that was delivered to, you know, parochial schools in the 50s and the 60s and, you know, shared. It was a mix of you know, kind of stories about, you know, Notre Dame football players, but then also Saints and then science as well. And it was kind of a mix of things, but yeah, that was kind of during the, you know, comics were kind of everywhere at that point. But yeah, I mean, it's, but for some reason, yeah, then after the 60s, 70s and 80s, then Catholicism and comics kind of took a break.
I wonder though how much of that is partially because comics and as a whole have kind of faded from our culture. You know what I mean? They're still out there. We still know the stories. They're still producing these great comics and, you know, these comics, these great superheroes and adventures and all this stuff. But I don't think we see comics as much today. We see the movies, we see the TV shows, we see, you know, that are based on the comics, but the actual print media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, definitely in the last, you know, 20, 30 years, the whole industry has changed. You know, it's even for like Marvel and DC, kind of their focus during these last, you know, 20, 30 years has been, you know, away from their print, you know, comic books and into movies and trying to get all their characters kind of into the mainstream. And so, yeah, but at the same time, though, it's interesting because now that all these characters are into the mainstream with these movies and TV shows, kind of we see also people and kids going back to the comics and, you know, picking up physical copies again. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a kind of a cycle, I guess you could say.
Right.
Well, yeah, I am so far removed from this. I was in grammar school in the latter half of the 60s, and I don't remember those. My further back thought of comics would have been Archie, you know, and Betty and Veronica towards the beginning of the 70s. That's the only comics I think I ever saw in book form or read in book form. I used to read comics in the newspaper. You remember those things, you put in your hand. and I remember following Superman in the newspaper, Peanuts, Hagar the Horrible, you know, stuff like that. But I understand as an educator, I have come across some of these comics in trying to motivate and bring stories to life for the young folks. And some of them, and not done by Catholics, are god awful. I mean, I got to be honest, not that yours does not look to be that way, but the ones I've seen and even little movies and stuff, you know, little
animated video films,
you know, little short animated videos. Some of them have come out so poorly made that we get distracted by that and miss the story completely. We used to do that a lot. We would preview them before we would even decide to show them. So I'm hoping that that's something that you've seen and that your comics are going to be a little bit more relevant to the reader nowadays, because the kids have a lot of competition. They're not so much going to pick up paper. Are these going to be available on, you know, tablet form and ebook form as well?
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of my focus too with these comics is I don't just want to, you know, make a kind of like a bland book that's about a saint that a kid doesn't really want to look at or read. I want to make something that's entertaining, catches their attention, that they can be kind of get engrossed into and taken away with. It's available both in the print form, as well as, digital Kindle and, other eBooks. So, yeah. And, you know, I have five kids of my own, so I definitely test them with them. So
he has his own focus group.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I love your tagline on, right? You know, first thing you see on your site, tired of boring faith-based entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a great tagline, because I think, again, this is, you know, just as we look at the culture as a whole, so much of what we call Christian entertainment does seem to be second fiddle to the professionals. Mm-hmm. You know, compared a typical Christian novel to a typical secular novel. And the Christian novel, not always, there are some very good ones, but a lot of times they're not well written, they're not well edited, they're basically a little above self-published manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with movies, same thing with, you know, cartoons. You see some of these cartoons where they're just poorly animated. And it's like, you wonder, okay, you did that, but was it really worth it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's why when I go, you know, in my process to create these comic books, I involve both, Christians, Catholics, but also just secular people in the industry to kind of look it over, to edit it, to really perfect it so that it's not just, you know, so it's not just appealing to, you know, a faithful Catholic or a faithful Christian, mm-hmm. but that it's, you know, that anyone really can pick it up and enjoy it. And that's, yeah, really my hope. And so far it seems like people have enjoyed it from a wide variety of backgrounds.
So you're looking at, go ahead.
No, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
So you're looking at it as an evangelization tool as well.
Yeah, definitely. I truly believe that in, you know, some of the most effective evangelization is through just good stories, really. And, you know, just the power of story to capture our imagination and to, you know, just kind of spark something within us, within our soul to kind of seek something more. And so that's, yeah, I mean, that's definitely it's a goal for me.
It's interesting, again, you know, talking about comics as a whole, not just, you know, yours in particular, but comics as a whole, where it really is starting, though, to be recognized as more than just entertainment, but actually as an art form of its own. And of course, you think of like the graphic novels and things like that. And that is kind of interesting how that has taken off more than the old paper. You know, like, again, I've got the little John Paul II one here where it's the old paperback style that you've seen for, you know, 50 years or more, they've the same basic format, but now you've got the hardbound graphic novels where they're a full story. They're not just a little, you know, to be continued story, but they're a full story. And is that something that you want to look at as well as if as you go forward?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a medium now where all kinds of, you know, artists will use it to kind of break the mold and create something that's, you know, kind of, you know, provocative and, you know, kind of stretches the bounds or stretches the limits of comics and graphic novels. And yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, look forward to seeing, you know, how I can use comic books or graphic novels to tell stories in a unique way. And, trying above all to present the kind of the true, the good and the beautiful in the best way possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, yeah. are these going to be available just online?
They're most readily available online, you know, through their own website, through Amazon. But then also, you know, they'll be available through other means. You know, they are available in some bookstores, and also been in talks with a book fair that goes into Catholic schools and kind of taking it directly to, you know, to children and Catholic elementary schools for purchase. So starting out definitely internet, but then kind of expanding as I'm able to.
This is something Barb from Nebraska would really like.
Oh, yeah. Barb's, she's been on, as a matter of fact, she was just on last week, and she's definitely into books. She's a third grade teacher.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, in a Catholic school in Nebraska. So, Barb, I hope you're listening and you got some ideas for your kids for next school year for some reading material for you. Last week, she gave a whole bunch of books. Now it's our turn to give book ideas back to her.
There we go.
Yeah, and actually, on the kind of same topic, next week I'll be going down to Ave Maria, Florida, and they're having a kind of a week-long kind of summer camp or vacation Bible school, whatever you kind of want to call it. But it's essentially based on the comic book or kind of the story around it, and kind of using the island of Skellig Michael and the monks and everything. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential there to reach different ways.
What would you say someone who likes the idea that you're doing on, and they say, you know what, that's something I can see myself doing. Now, I'm not an artist. I have absolutely no artistic ability whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But there might be someone saying, you know, I could see myself, I've got an idea for like a comic book or a web comic or a graphic novel. You know, what would you say to them, you know, as far as how to start a process like that?
Well, one of the keys is to, first of all, figure out where your strengths are. Like my strength, I've kind of come to discern that, you know, God has given me this gift of writing. So, you know, mm-hmm. So for these comic books, I write and create them. I write the script for them, but I'm not an artist, so I can't, you know, I can't do the rest of it. So I rely on talented artists to kind of to be able to interpret what I'm writing and to present it in, you know, in a way that works. So, yeah, in terms of the comic world, that's kind of the interesting, one of the interesting parts of it is that sometimes with a comic book, you might have up to four different people handling it. So you could have a writer doing the script. You could have someone doing a layout of the page who just kind of lays the basis for it. And then you can have someone who, what they call ink the page. So kind of do kind of a hard black outline on the page, and then have another person who colors it. And then sometimes there's even another person who puts the letters on the page. I've worked in different projects where, you know, for one, it'll be a whole team of, yeah, four to five artists, or on a different one, it might just be one or two artists. But it's an interesting process. So finding what your strengths are, and then just to start doing it, really, that's kind of my advice to anyone who wants to kind of test out where if they could do it, is just to just do it, start writing a comic book, or, you know, start drawing one, and just kind of to see, mm-hmm. if it works, if you feel inspired, it's easy to think about it, but then once you start doing it, then you can kind of see, okay, yeah, I can see myself doing it.
Yeah, but comic book writing is more like probably a script for a show than a novel, correct?
Yeah, yeah, and that's something I had to learn, and I basically kind of, scoured the internet and found different books that were helpful that kind of guided me in the process. And then I just started doing it, and then I was able to get in contact with just some other editors and writers who could look it over and kind of give me tips. Again, that's another thing that applies both to writers and artists. It's always helpful to have, a mentor or, just to find someone else who's also doing what you want to do, to be able to ask them questions, and then they can critique you. Because, yeah, it's hard to grow as a writer or an artist if you live in a bubble and you just you can kind of view your work and say, well, I think it's great. But then yeah. But it may not be. it's kind of hard to take critique, but it's an important part of the process if you want to grow and actually bring it to other people.
Sure. Well, I think that's good advice for any kind of creative aspect, you know, again, whether it is as an artist, as a writer, as, you know, even if you're doing, you know, things like for me as a priest, you know, with my homilies, you know, is it to get, so it's not just me, you know, so that is not just my opinion. Cause I can think, oh yeah, I'm doing a great job preaching. Everybody's going, well, he's the most boring priest I've ever heard. You know,
oh, I'm sure no one says that.
But about me, no. They say other things about me, but not that. No. But no, it's that is something good though to get that input. Mm. Now, so of course you got this one story that you're doing now with Skellig Michael and all that, everything going on with that. What are some future ideas that you've come up with, or are you still kind of in the working ideas of where to go to next?
Sure. My main series, Finian and the Seven Mountains, I have two issues that are printed and published. The plan for that series is to have a series of seven issues. Mm. So that's, you know, something to work for. And then, yeah, like I said, there's a St. Joan of Arc series that I'm working on. Last couple of months, I made kind of like a little contest for people to submit their own superhero ideas to kind of, you know, collaborate with other people to create, superheroes that are both good characters, but then also kind of reflect a Catholic worldview underneath. So I got about 40 submissions to that little contest. Oh. and then kind of got people's feedback and kind of narrowed it down to kind of three top ideas that we're going to work on and kind of flesh out a little bit more. And yeah, I mean, I would love to see, because superheroes are just, they're a big part of our culture right now. And, to be able to present something that is, consistent with the Catholic faith would be good. Because, you know, one thing too that I've come to realize in kind of creating this comic book company is that just when you dig deeper into a lot of kind of these, you know, modern day superheroes, while some of them are very, you know, they're able to present a very inspiring story. It's just the problem is that the creators behind it all they're just a product of the culture. So mm-hmm. as the culture shifts, these superheroes are also going to shift. And that's kind of, you know, presents a bit of a problem, especially when you want to present these superheroes to children to, you know, look up to inspire. But when these superheroes start to do things that are not, you know, true, good and beautiful that are against the faith, then it's like, well, what do you do now?
That is a complaint I've heard from other sources, from people who do follow comics a lot closer than I do. Like, you know, I don't read a lot of comics. I'm one of those I used to, and I don't anymore. And a lot of them complain that, and probably rightfully so, that the way the comics are going now is they've gotten away from kind of traditional virtues and are focused more on secular virtues, some of which we don't have a problem with, some of which we agree with, but some of which we look at and say, that's something that's immoral, not moral. That's something that this, you know, the superhero should be avoiding, not encouraging. Or certain characters are changed in such a way to fit a certain, again, secular ideal, secular image. you know, and that I wonder if how much that has weakened those characters and, of course, the comic book industry as a whole as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading, too, about just the history of Marvel Comics and kind of like the inspiration behind it all. And, you know, I've just noticed that, you know, really, it's not something new per se in the last, you know, 10, 20 years. It's just become more evident. But, you know, these comics are really, they're a product of the culture, and they will shift with whatever is popular at this moment in time. Because really, you know, inspiration is kind of accidental, you know, like they don't really necessarily write the comic books to inspire people, but they write them to make money. And that's their main push behind it all. And so, you know, whatever's the most popular at the moment. And then that just kind of creates, you know, like problems like, what does this superhero even stand for? Do they actually stand for anything, or do they just, you know, whatever's, you know, popular at the moment? Yeah. So it lessens their credibility, and it just kind of creates, you know, I don't know. I know what I'm exactly trying to say, but yeah, they just, you kind of get you're disappointed of these characters, and you wish, you know, wish they were better.
Yeah. I think that's happening in entertainment across the board.
Right.
This is not a comic book example, but maybe this might fit the build. When, like, say, a regular program, okay, comes off of one of the major networks and goes on to Netflix, now all of a sudden you think that they're going to continue the way they've been going on the network, but all of a sudden they've added all kinds of other things that weren't in the original storyline, and now it's almost completely changed the show. I'm experiencing that right now with Designated Survivor.
Okay.
Where they've gone to Netflix, and all of a sudden, we're dropping the F-bomb every 5 minutes, and I'm seeing things that they would never have put on ABC. So this, and now I'm almost getting, you know, disgusted with the whole show because my characters have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that that's the same thing that's going on in the comic book universe, where these characters who were beloved for maybe 30, 40 years in print are now, because they're on the screen, taking on or reflecting the society of the times. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. No, it's definitely, yeah, and it's not just a Marvel issue, but also DC Comics as well. A lot of these characters are changing in ways that are just very disappointing. And it seems, you know, the culture too is just, it's becoming more adult oriented. So kind of, I don't know. It's just instead of trying to, you know, make things more sensitive to a younger audience, you know, now they're just not even trying. They're just saying, okay, well, our audience is, you know, 30 and 40 year olds, and whatever is popular right now, that's what we got to do. And,
right. And instead of telling a story, okay, and keeping up, you know, development of characters and telling a story, they're just kind of putting their characters into modern day, air quote, situations and seeing how they handle it. That also fair?
Yeah.
I'm kind of grasping at straws here because, again, this isn't my genre, but I think it's a problem overall, because there are some of us who understand what society is doing. And we don't want to use that for our entertainment as well. We would like to have entertainment or books or comics or movies that tell story rather than surprise me with everything you can put in it to make sure everything is politically correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's starting to become more evident now. you know, especially currently, like the, so in the Marvel world, the movies have been kind of the forefront of everything. And really it's, you know, I kind of think it's a miracle that these last 10 years, they've made so many superhero movies, but they are all really quite good and you know, mm-hmm. wholesome for the most part. You know, they, I mean, there's a few instances of things that they was kind of unfortunate, but really overall, these movies are really well done and they're really uplifting and just really kind of surprising how well they were. But then over this past weekend, Marvel announced kind of their next phase, as they call it, like phase four. And they kind of released their plans for, you know, the next 3 or 4 years. And, a lot of the movies that they're planning on, you know, they've already kind of released some details that they're very, different and just, you know, include a lot of things that, you know, just kind of appease, yeah, the kind of the political correctness of the culture. So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, I obviously I don't know what the end result is going to be, what they're actually going to produce, but right now it's kind of disappointing and you're not sure what's going to happen next with that whole next phase of movies.
Well, it is interesting too, because of course Marvel was riding so high on the whole Avengers storyline, you know, with the Iron Man movies and the Captain America movies and all those other movies that they pulled together into the Avengers. And then, you know, on through that. And I mean, it is what, 25, 26 movies there. That's all kind of one big story, really. Mm-hmm. And now they've ended that story and now they're going on to another set of stories. And that's where they're sitting. Everybody's kind of watching now. Okay, where are you going with this? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll be definitely watching it very closely, but, right now, I guess I'm not hopeful that they will stay true to what they've have produced in the past and that they'll right. be kind of branching out, and yeah, just in not good ways.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because you think they would look at, frankly, the billions of dollars they've made off of those movies and go, this is a formula that works. This is a formula that makes us money. Let's stay there. But they don't always do that.
No, but part of the creative mind says, well, if we have this audience, now let's see what we can really create. Mm-hmm. For them, and you know, and the creative mind wants to keep moving. That and, I know, but, too. You know, you want to keep moving and evolving, and but in which direction?
What's kind of ironic about that is, you know, one of the big complaints about Christian media is that it preaches, and that's always been my complaint when I'm reading a Christian, whether Catholic or non-Catholic novel. At some point, they're going to throw a sermon in there. They just cannot resist it. And it's like, I hope Marvel is paying attention to that, because the second you do that, it's gone, you know, and if they're writing stories to put their sermon in, whatever topic of interest they want to put into this particular story, the second that becomes apparent, that's what you're doing. You just failed.
Apparent is the word.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of movies and TV shows and stuff like that do it in very subtle ways.
Yeah, no, it still comes out. Yeah, it really true. Does.
Now, you know, Touched by an Angel did it for 9 years, so.
Yeah. The message still comes through. So, Philip, is there anything else you would like to share about any of this, comics or your own work or anything like that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, in terms of, you know, this venture, you know, I, you know, I'm really interested to see where it goes, and, you know, I'm always open to, you know, collaborations and, you know, if anyone has, ideas that they want to submit, or if they want to, you know, work on a project together, you know, I'm always, you know, I've definitely come to know that you can't run like a, you can't run a company by yourself. And especially a publishing company. And, so I'm always looking for more people to come on board and to help kind of promote and to kind of, you know, bring this into something big. You know, that's, one thing that I never know, what God has in store or what's going to happen next. But, it'd be great if it didn't stay small, but it expanded and had a bigger effect, in the Catholic world or in the world in general.
Very good. Very good. Well, hope you can accomplish that. That's for sure. It's nice. It's always good to see, Catholic companies, Catholic groups succeed in being able to reach out to the culture. So definitely hope you can do that.
Well, I'll make sure I let my educator friends know, because it looks really, really good. I like what I see, and I think it's something that they might be able to use. So I'll make sure that they know.
Thank you.
This moment, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go on to our picks of the week. But before we do that, I want to thank you once again for listening to Let's Talk and all the SQPN community podcasts, whether this one or our Secrets of series, Doctor Who, Secrets of Star Trek. We have a new one, Secrets of Disney, which we are kind of starting back up. This is a couple of panelists who had worked at Disney enjoy talking about Disney, enjoy talking about the parks and everything like that. It's more focused on the Disney experience than it is any particular Disney movie. But if you're interested in that, please do check that out. The Secrets of Disney. We just got that going again. We also have American Catholic History podcast, which is going along pretty good, and some really interesting topics there. So if you haven't checked that one out, nice thing about that one, it's nice and short. So, they're only 10-minute long episodes. So if you got a couple of minutes each day, you can listen to a couple of episodes. Check it out. I also want to thank those who are helping us keep our shows on the air. Of course, while most of us are volunteers at SQPN, we do have a lot of expenses that still need to be done to keep our website up, keep the distribution of the podcast going, and so on. So please do. We want to thank those who are supporting it, especially want to thank those who are supporting through our Patreon campaign, which you can find at sqpn.com/give. If you go there, you can click the Patreon link, and then you can sign up for a certain amount each month. And depending on what level you give it, we may even have some gifts for you. This week, I'd like to thank by name Hector M, Karen M, Isaac K, Bennett G, and Tara H. Thank you, and thank all of our Patreon supporters for your help, for your contributions to SQPN, so we can keep these shows coming. And again, if you wish to join them, go to sqpn.com/give. So, Joanne, would you like to start us off with the picks of the week?
Okay. Most of you know that I am a pastoral musician, and every year I usually attend the National Association of Pastoral Musicians Convention. This year it was in Raleigh. No, I did not go this year. But the good thing about NPM is they will always live stream a lot of things. What they did live stream was something called Beer and Hymns. Okay, now these are two things musicians tend to gravitate towards, not at the same time. But it's a collection, it's based on a collection by Tony Alonzo called Revival, and it's traditional hymns for contemporary ensemble. So we're talking, when everybody hears contemporary ensembles, they all run in the opposite direction, and they say, well, I could never, they don't know how to do the oldies but goodies. Well, Tony arranged about 30 oldies but goodies and into various different genres, jazz and bluegrass. And now that you may not think it sounds that great, but I was listening to it. I was amazed, because what it does is it's an attempt to bring the traditional hymns of our faith to a younger crowd. Now, I'm not suggesting that every parish should have a beer and hymn night, but I think musicians right now should take a look at this collection and maybe add one or two to their repertoire, because doing an old hymn in a new way breathes a little bit more life into it and may bring it, especially to a younger crowd. It's musicians who are working in schools right now. This might be a good model of stuff for you to take a look at and introduce this year coming for your kids. So it's by Tony Alonzo. It's called Revival, and you can get it at giamusic.com.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I just love the name Beer and Hymns begin with, but yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Seriously, they got some establishment in Raleigh to let them do this there, and they had an ensemble of professional musicians, and the rest of the people were all, you know, convention goers. They only had one scheduled. They had to do three different sessions.
Wow.
And they were sold out every single time. So they were Facebook living the whole thing. And I was quite impressed with the quality of how he arranged the hymns. So they don't sound trite and they don't sound gimmicky, but they retain their basic essence, yet they're in a different musical genre.
Hmm.
And it works. I'm surprised. So I think I figured that'd be a good pick for some folks who are looking for something different.
Well, very good. Very good. Philip, what would you like to promote as your pick?
Sure. Well, kind of on the topic of comics and comic books, just so if you're a comic book fan, or if you are really into the current, you know, movies by Marvel Comics, one great book or audiobook to read is called Marvel Comics: The Untold Story by Sean Howe. And it is just a great, you know, I've been going through it over the past couple months, and it's a great kind of behind the scenes look into, you know, starting in the 1930s and 40s all the way through, you know, to the 2000s. Kind of a behind the scenes look into Marvel Comics and to Stan Lee and kind of the whole creative process. But then it also kind of gives you, you know, a sense of, you know, how they end up where they are today. And I don't know, it's just been a fairly fascinating read for me. And I'm sure anyone who's interested in comic books would appreciate it.
Oh, excellent. That sounds interesting. Definitely have to check it out. My pick this week is actually something I'm going to be doing next winter. And it's something I've done before and something I'm going to do again next winter. So for the last, this is the third year, I think they're doing it. The St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, which is Scott Hahn's organization, or at least he's the most well-known person involved with it, is putting on priest conferences. And this year they just did one in the East Coast. It just was last week. But then in January, down in the San Diego area, they're going to be having a West Coast priest conference. So of course, when, you know, given the choice to go between the East Coast and in West Virginia in the middle of the summer, or San Diego, California in the middle of winter, of course I had to go someplace where I could defrost after Christmas. So I'm going to be going to that conference. I went, like I said, a couple of years ago was their first year, and I went to the one in West Virginia. It's a beautiful spot. Any priests who are interested in going to that one, definitely sign up for it next year. It's worth going. But I would encourage priests to consider going to it because, of course, you know, you have some great biblical scholars. You got Scott Hahn, of course, John Bergsma, another excellent scholar, and then Tim Gray, yet another excellent one who will be speaking at the West Coast conference. So check that out, my brother priest. And, you know, parishioners, this might be a good Christmas gift or birthday gift or anniversary gift for your pastor or priest in your life, as you know, to treat him for a trip to San Diego in the middle of the winter to learn, because it really is a retreat as much as it is a conference. You know, yes, there's opportunities for entertainment and there's opportunities for visiting as priests, but you're also going to learn. I mean, you're going to learn from some great biblical scholars who, you know, they probably, each of them probably have forgotten more about the Bible than most of us remember. So definitely check that out. And if, like I said, for parishioners, get your priest there. If he's willing to go, help support him, you know, even if it's as much as just giving him a little bit of money to help pay for the cost. So check that out. There'll be a link in there for the St. Paul Center Priest Conference. Well, Philip, thank you very much for coming on. It was interesting to hear about your work and look forward to seeing more. Where can people find you in the work that you're doing?
Sure. The best place to look is voyagecomics.com. If you're interested in supporting Catholic comics, Otherwise, you can also look at my spiritual writing on alatea.org.
Okay, and we'll definitely have links to both those in the show notes so people can find you. And Joanne, where are you at?
Well, I'm still at Twitter as Ritual Diva, but I'm still working on my website, so hopefully that'll be up and running soon. You can always find me at SQPN.
Oh yes, yes. She's, matter of fact, we'll both kind of a not spoiler but teaser. We'll both be on Secrets of Technology this week as well. So
oh yeah,
get to hear her later this week as well. We should have some very interesting discussion. Again, I'm Father Corey Stika. You can find my homilies usually at frcorey.org, which is my website. I'm on Facebook as Father Corey Stika, and my Twitter handle is frcoreystika. If you have any feedback for this episode of Let's Talk or any episode of Let's Talk, please send it to letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.